Turning to Bibles today, the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. I want to read one verse this morning, which will be our text for the message today. Galatians 6 and verse number 14. Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." If there's any thought that is clear in reading this verse, it's simply the thought, I will glory in the cross. We see Paul basically saying that in that verse, I will glory in the cross. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, this morning, as we approach the throne of grace, we do so thankful for the fact that it is indeed a throne of grace. We thank you today for forgiveness because of Calvary. We thank you today for the presence of the Lord in our midst. We ask your blessings now upon the preaching of your word, for all of the sickness that's impacted our church, for the state of our country, for wisdom on behalf of our president, for the leadership, competent leadership that is needed now on the part of the politicians. We just would pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give healing to our country. Pray that you'd give healing to our church. We just pray that you would bless us now and cause us to go out of this building today more thrilled than ever and appreciative than ever as we consider the message of the cross and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The message of the cross was central in the preaching of the one who wrote this epistle under the inspiration of God. That message was central. He gloried in the work of Christ upon the cross, which of course accounted for his deliverance from sin. Interestingly enough, everywhere you read in terms of Paul's 13 plus epistles, you see him glorying in the cross. You see him constantly making much of Calvary. You see him constantly expounding the truth of the substitutionary work of Christ. It certainly does not come as a surprise to read a verse such as this where Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." He gloried in that redemptive work which alone is saving. He gloried in the grace of God and not the law of Moses, which unfortunately was the context of the book of Galatians. His case against Christianity ended when he was on the road that was leading to Damascus, where he met the risen Lord, where he came in contact with the grace of God. That's where his case against Christianity ended, and that's where his case for the cross and Christianity began. We see him glorying in the cross in his preaching. Throughout the books of the Bible, throughout the epistles that he wrote, we see him glorying in the cross. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 23, "But we preach Christ crucified." We read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose the third day according to the Scriptures." We read Him saying in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation." We read of Him writing in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." No wonder He said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." The old gospel song would have perhaps been a song that he would have liked if that song would have been written at the time that Paul lived. I boast not of works or tell of good deeds for naught. Have I done to merit his grace? All glory and praise shall rest upon him, so willing to die in my place. I will glory in the cross, lest his sufferings all be in vain. I will weep no more for the cross that he bore. I will glory in the cross. That song would have been a part of his heart. The lyrics of that song would have been a part of his lips. The old rugged cross would have been another one of his favorites, I believe. The old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction to me. That would have been true of the Apostle Paul. That's true of every single one of us today. That old rugged cross has a wondrous attraction to all of us today that know the merits of what Christ did upon that cross. That was the place where our sins were dealt with in the person of our perfect substitute and the place where we saw the light. The heart of every blood-washed child of God is thrilled by the message of the Savior's redemptive work. We too find ourselves saying, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our spiritual eyes were opened for the first time when our sin-darkened soul was quickened with His resurrection life. And thank God we've been celebrating Easter Sunday every day since. God's people today are standing on redemption ground. God's people today are enjoying the resurrection life. God's people today are enjoying the fact that we died with Him. We were buried with Him. We arose with Him. We ascended with Him. And thank God we're seated today in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That thrills our hearts. There are six chapters in the great book of Galatians. In every one of those chapters record Paul glorying in the cross. Every single one of those chapters. I see him saying, I will glory in the cross in chapter 1 where he writes, who gave himself for our sins. I see him saying, I will glory in the cross in chapter 2 where he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I see him saying, I will glory in the cross in chapter 3, where he writes, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Chapter 3 and verse 13. I see him saying, I will glory in the cross in chapter 4 where he writes, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I see him saying, I will glory in the cross. In chapter 5, when he writes about the offense of the cross, in chapter 5, verse number 11. And then in chapter 6, we have his actual statement, where he says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. From the time that Paul said, what wilt thou have me to do? Until the time that Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered, he focused in his ministry, in his message, upon the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That was his key message. That was his primary point. That was how he lived. That was how he preached. That was what he believed. Every single one of the 13, counting Hebrews 14 epistles, that he writes, we see the epistles bleeding. We see the cross on display. We see the message of redemption. We see him saying, I will glory in the cross. And oh, thank God today, it's the cross that brings deliverance. It's a cross that saves the soul. It's a cross that gives assurance. It's a cross that prepares for heaven. It's a cross that transports us to heaven. It's a redemptive work of Jesus Christ. I will glory in the cross. I read a story about the donkey that transported Jesus the day that Jesus rode that donkey into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The day after the event is an animated story. The day after the event, the little donkey was thinking, was reflecting on the event, and thought of the rush of pleasure and the rush of pride that he sensed on that day. He walked into town. He was expecting again to be noticed, but they paid him no mind. He asked them if they knew who he was. They just stared at him, told him to move on. He said, I'll go to the marketplace. There the people will remember me. But the same thing happened. He strutted down the street and shouted out, where are the palm branches? Where are the branches that were spread out before me that day? He was hurt. He was confused. He returned home and he told his mother. She looked at him and said, foolish child, don't you realize that without him, you're just an ordinary donkey? Without him. Let me tell you something this morning. Without him, we are ordinary, sinful, and condemned. Without him, we had no future. Without him, we had no hope. Without him, we had nothing but misery. But thank God when Christ comes into our life, we're more than just a person. We're more than just an individual. We are a recipient of His grace. We're clothed in His righteousness. We bear His image. We share His name. We enjoy His favor. We experience every day His grace. I choose to glory in the cross because the cross is associated with grace. It was only a reach of grace that could rescue me. It's grace alone that saves, that keeps, that supplies, and eventually will bear us safely into the realms of glory. My son gave an excellent illustration last Sunday as I was home, of course, and listened to him preaching. He gave this illustration. I've never thought about it before, but how well it resonates a major point. He said it's just like a GPS device. Like a GPS device. We can complain. We can get angry. We can get upset all we want with GPS devices. We have a better one now on our cell phone, better than the old Garmin, of course. We can get upset. But what will happen is that GPS will still never let us down. It'll still say recalculating. It'll eventually recalculate you to your destination if you pay attention to it. You can get off on a wrong road, but the GPS will still kick in. It'll say recalculating. You may think you're on the backside of Potok Junction in the middle of a desert, but it'll keep on recalculating until it gets you to your destination. And here's the point, and I get rather emotional when I think about this. It's just like the Christian life. We go down the road of life. We make bukus of mistakes. We sin along the way. We displease the Lord. But the grace of God keeps recalculating. Keeps putting us back on track. Keeps restoring our fellowship. Keeps reconciling us to God. Keeps giving us His favor, His blessing, It keeps recalculating. And thank God, it will recalculate us right into glory one day. I will glory in the cross. I will glory in the cross because the cross represents grace. I will glory in it because it represents salvation. I will glory in it because it represents the heart of the Father. I will glory in it because it represents hope for a sinner. I will glory in the cross. May I say today, I glory in the cross as a matter of sound theology. For the cross work of Christ alone justifies the sinner. I glory in it. It's sound theology. It's not what the Judaizers were preaching. It's not law keeping. It's not keeping the law. It's not baptism. It's not good works. I glory in it because it's sound Christian theology. It's exactly what God's Word teaches. It's provision provided for a sinner. It's salvation to a hell-deserving sinner. I glory in it because it's a matter of sound theology. I glory in the cross because it's a matter of spiritual nourishment. Nothing satisfies the redeemed soul more than meditation upon Calvary. When I survey the wondrous cross from whence the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. I glory in it because it is a matter of spiritual nourishment. I drove down the road today, coming to church, and prayed to God today, a prayer that I prayed over 40 years ago, when I was pastoring in West Virginia. As I was poring over the books of Charles Spurgeon, reading his messages on redemption, on the truth of justification, the truth of being reconciled to God, and the fact that by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And I asked God years ago in that little study in West Virginia, I said, oh God, if you do nothing else for me, give me an understanding of Calvary. Give me an understanding of the cross. And oh God, give me the ability to preach Christ to where people that hear me preach will be thrilled when they hear about Calvary. And that's the same prayer I pray today. There is no message. There's nothing any preacher could ever say. There's nothing we could ever say or preach that will ever beat, compensate, substitute for the truth. I will glory in the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I glory in the cross because it's the focus of Scripture. It's the focus of Scripture. There is a redemptive thread that runs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. That redemptive thread is the redemptive thread of the cross. You, if you have your eyes open, if you have your heart in tune, you cannot help but see Calvary throughout Scripture. You see it in Genesis 1. You see it in Revelation 22. You see it in types and offerings. You see it in sacrifices being offered. You see it in the ark that Moses built, or Noah built. You see Calvary, the thread of redemption. I will glory in the cross because it's the thread of Scripture. Wherever you read, I glory in the cross because it was upon that cross that Jesus totally paid sin's debt. And a repentive sinner finds redemption at the cross and eternal exoneration. And let me emphasize that. Eternal exoneration from the condemnation of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I will glory in the cross. Let me leave this illustrative thought with you this morning. A man is found guilty of a capital crime. The man is brought before the jury, brought before the judge, and the judge sentences him to death. It comes to the day that the man is taken out of the cell, blindfolded, strapped into an electric chair, and executed. The doctors enter, pronouncing him dead, and his death is recorded in the law books. The law has been satisfied. It can never do any more. The case is closed. Now let's say 3 days later, you meet that same man walking down the street. You call the police, and you even go to see the judge. And the judge, you tell the judge, you say, arrest that man. Arrest that man. The judge looks at the book and says he finds no record of the man being legally dead to the law. The fact that the man might now live is no concern to the law. The man has paid his debt to society. The law made no provision beyond his death. The law does not cover resurrection. The law stops at the grave. Now think about this. The law declares that a soul that sinneth, it shall die. The law found me guilty. The law sentenced me to death. But Jesus died in my stead. He took my place. The law can no longer condemn me because Jesus was condemned in my stead. Now when our accusers see us running loose, they can cry, arrest him. He's guilty. But the law is unable to punish because Jesus was punished in our stead. Free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus hath bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. I'm thankful to God this morning that I stand on redemption ground because of Calvary. I'm glad today for that question found in Scripture. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I'm glad that all of hell combined, Satan himself, can hurl his darts at me all he wants to and accuse me of being guilty if he wants to. But I'll tell you the day that I fled to Calvary as a hell-bound sinner and saw him bleeding and dying for my sin and said yes to him. His grace covered my soul. My name made it in his book. I was ascended in him, resurrection style. And my friend, the day is coming that I, like the rest of you that's been saved today by the grace of God, are going to cash in on the final product of what justification started the moment we got justified. I'm looking in the faces of people today for all practical intent. It's just as good as if you were already in heaven, because what God started, he'll finish. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. I'll tell you, when he justifies a sinner, it takes place one time. That's all it takes. One time. So thank God today. I see what Paul is saying. I will glory in the cross. What else is there to glory in? But I will glory in the cross. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God today for the cross. Let's back.